guys.
Hey.
Let's jump right in.
I'll do
Shall
it.
We?
And people that you know don't like you, and you treasure friendships in. Tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
Josh on a 30-second lag today.
Is it really?
not farting.
Yeah. No, I'm just drunk.
Not farting around today. We're getting right into it.
All right.
I'm just stewed. I've been drinking since morning. We're
good
all right.
For you.
That's the voice of Josh Fligger.
Hi.
Of the Butler PA Fliggers.
Of the Butler Fliggers.
That's Larry Morgan of the Luckenbach, Texas Morgans.
Sure, I'll take it.
And I'm Andy Chanley of the Indiana Chanleys. And Sam Farmer of the, where the hell is Sam from? Reading, Pennsylvania? Where is he from?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Did he start off like in Michigan, then Pennsylvania? I don't know.
Is that right?
He's
ain't here.
Yeah.
Wherever he started out, he ain't in this place.
Sam of the not here farmers.
Well, that, you know, that's the next
the
thing we ask.
Future farmers of America. Ah, heavens, guys, we've got such a program today.
Oh.
This is pretty amazing. Working backwards, we've got. I don't know if you have anything in the yaf sack in our private little email portal for people who want to contact us, Larry. But I'm excited about the prospect of that. I know we do have a couple of phone calls to the YAF line. That number is 626-657-6428 or amok PM hat.
Look at him kicking off the show with the details already.
Yeah,
way to go.
Yeah,
like
I'm
a pro. Telling
you. And I've had the fucking chemo brain this week. Like, and that's a real thing. I swear to God, I'll tell you about in just a second what I did this week. My brain not working anymore because of the chemotherapy.
I wish I had an excuse like chemotherapy because I have actually been knocking over and spilling everything everywhere always. Like, I am shocked that this glass of water that I will hold like President Trump during his complete you know, term, I am shocked that I haven't spilled and or spewed it all over my equipment.
And look like there's some bubbles in that water. Is that, is that sparkling?
I'm fancy.
That's
Andy.
Sparkling water, isn't it?
Oh, we make our own.
Ooh, make your own water? Nice. That's fancy.
But quickly, running down.
We bring it up out of the well, boil it, and then
I
make bubbles.
Churn.
And then I make bubbles by going,
churn the water.
And bubbles.
I almost put
hydrocortisone on my toothpaste or my toothbrush this week.
Jesus, what is going on?
Sorry, Andy. Go ahead.
Yeah,
I just wanted to billboard everything. We've got the phone calls. We've got a special little thing that Larry has crafted from our input, Josh,
and some listener input on their contributions to the same category in
fantastic.
The YAF-SAC.
Yeah, fantastic.
Wow.
Yep. And also I have. Just a little bit of shed talk.
Oh
man, this is a packed show.
Yeah, I know.
We should probably. I'm just going to make the call as like an executive producer type. Probably have to bump shed talk. It sounds like too much.
Get to that first, so it doesn't get left out.
Let's not.
No.
I don't want to blow our load right off the bat. We want to save the best for never.
Exactly.
part two episode.
Yeah. Right after me and Larry leave.
I'm a load blower from way back. Let me blow a load on you guys.
Okay.
To start.
Well, thank God we're still remote. All right.
So
I almost literally spilled my water out of my mouth onto everything.
Your artisanal
else.
Water.
You guys have been, you guys have, like, I know Josh, each of you have popped by sometime in the last year and a half for something.
Yeah.
To drop off this or that.
Yeah.
You've seen, I think, out in front of the shed where there was a step supposedly to go, but there was just the wood form up there.
Right.
And I had never poured it. I got, you know, did that part and then didn't finish. Well, that, you know, plywood got dilapidated and was out of, you know, whack and so forth. And Lara was cursing me every time she had to go out and put something in the shed. It was like this GD step thing out here that you haven't finished. It's a death trap. I'm going to cut myself on it and so forth. So finally, yesterday, she gets out there, and there was a bunch of stuff from camping trip that they did a couple of months ago and out on the back patio under the carport, the automotive pavilion. And she was putting, I'm going to put some of this stuff away. And she's like, that step. I'm like, you know what? You just did it. I know it's day five of chemo, but I'm going to pour 300 pounds of concrete today. And I cut in a new form and poured five times. Is that right? Five, yeah, 300 pounds of concrete.
Did you make her go yesterday. Get the concrete?
No, I went and got it.
Okay. Did you carry it up the
this
street?
Time, remember last time when I did that, when I underordered and made her go get more? Uh-huh. This time I got 9 bags and I only needed 5. So I got 4 bags to take back. See you at Anawalt later. Did all of that, poured it, and there is a step in there. But this is a mixture of shed talk and chemo brain because I forgot to put any metal reinforcement in there or to put like lag bolts to anchor it to the foundation. So I think it's in there fine for several years and it's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah,
it's 300 pounds.
Concrete. Put it in the shed. Cause you're
fill it in later. But I poured the step. So now I still have to put a vent in the door. So that's one more outstanding thing, but the shed is almost complete, some 2.5 years after initial major combat operations were called.
Well, I wouldn't be the first to congratulate you. And I think maybe we should just start the show now. Let's just start recording now. Okay.
Just start
I have thought of you recently and your damn gate because one of the regular bits that Colbert has been doing on The Late Show centers around Matt Gaetz, the soon-to-be possibly disgraced U.S. congressperson, and he's been calling the bit Gatesgate.
I'm telling you.
That, to me, somehow works better than yours, but...
Of course it does. You're biased.
Yeah, I am. I am. I absolutely am. But you're on this basically on the same page. Everybody uses gate for something.
That guy wears suit jackets like he has sex with underage girls. That's what the suits he wears, he looks like somebody that would have...
He looks like the kind of person who would wear short sleeve suit jackets
and shorts with shorts, like khaki shorts, and then roll the sleeves up on the suit jacket. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Could you imagine wearing a short sleeve button down shirt, right, and then getting a suit jacket cut to have some cuffs
that's
showing
like
underneath?
At Bernie's,
that.
Right?
That's brilliant. But the other thing, quickly before I forget it, because I got chemo brain and I'll forget it. It makes you forget shit. Like I'm having meetings with people and I'm trying to think of a word and I can't come up with it. I'm like getting embarrassed because I'm talking to colleagues and then you need the
that's just every day of my life.
The what's the word?
Now I can't tell if he's relating the story or if he's actually having an episode right now.
The doorknob. There you know, I'm like, it takes me forever to arrive at the simplest shit, and it's so embarrassing. The other day, I go out and I look at the pool, and it's down 6 inches. I'm like, I got to get the level of the water up above where the filter feeds back in. I should go. I put the hose in there and do that, and then I'll go set the alarm so I go back and get this in 15 minutes. 5.5 hours later, I was flooding my backyard with the hose wide open for 5.5 hours, people. That's going to cost me hundreds of dollars.
All right, let me ask you a question. These episodes that you're having, how relative is the time frame from when the last time you used medical marijuana are they happening? So is it really maybe chemo brain or is it,
Well, it might be layers of both.
Sativa brain.
It sounds to me like the whole cocktail could definitely contribute to that.
Well, I'm sure it's not helping.
Yeah.
But it's really weird. I'm definitely feeling it. And like Lara notices it. The kids notice it. Daddy can't think of shit. It's pretty sad. But hopefully it comes back.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
I've got my fingers crossed for it.
If not, it'll be a new thing we can make fun of you for. So.
Yeah. And the other thing is, too, we're waiting for the hair to come back, you know, after all of this ends and, you know, in the fall. And we keep wondering, is it going to come back as a fro? Is it going to come back as,
or you know what? I'm going to make a prediction. You're going to have like an awesome silver streak. You know how like when people get electric hit by lightning and all of a sudden they have like one like silver gray patch.
I want the sidewalls like Paulie Walnuts from Sopranos.
Well, Andy, you've been teased it. You teased it right at the top. When are you going to tell us the Shed Talk story?
Larry.
I'm kidding.
Don't be hurtful. I don't need your goading.
Wouldn't it be great, Josh, if he actually forgot he didn't tell us? No, Shed Talk?
Next week he's gonna be like, guys, this episode's gonna be off the hook. You wouldn't believe it. It's been like 2 years, but I got some Shed news.
Larry's put together a thing for us, and
let's just say that I definitely watered my lawn this week. Yep.
And happy Mother's Day, everybody.
that would cross over into the sad, I think. That stops being fun
That was just a prime example of all three of us just being big dumbs. Yeah. We're just big, dumb people.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. You guys are complicit in this shit.
Yeah. Somebody said it, we all just went along with it. Like, yep, I guess so. It sounds right.
We don't need to.
A bunch of dumb cows. Just okay.
Speaking of dumb cows, here's a fun thing. Another thing that happened this week. We've had our cat Tuxie, who, when we moved into this place, by the way, moved into our house 7 years ago today.
Oh, congrats.
Yeah. Happy anniversary.
7 years ago last night. And anyway, when we moved in here, we were expecting a child, you know, Vivian was on the way. And Tuxie, who had had a history of relieving himself in corners of our old residences, was starting off at a very high level of pissing on everything in the new house.
Oh, no.
Every corner, every carpet, every set of drapes that, you know, that swept the floor, he was pissing on. Got up on the crib and pissed on that. Oh, then it's like, you got to get the fuck out, right? Love him dearly. Sweetest cat. But you can't bring, you know, a new human being into an environment like that. Right. We love you. You're going to be an outdoor cat. And you're going to be, you know, have plenty of shelter and be loved and everything. But we just can't, you can't do that. It's just not healthy. So he's been outdoors for these 6 years. We lost Fuego a couple of months ago, a month and a half ago, whatever it was. And since we lost Fuego, his brother Tuxie has been coming up to the door and he's been meowing at the door like, where's my brother? Where are you? Meow, meow. He's like really sad. And it's really, I mean, it has to be, that's the only thing you can draw from it. He hasn't done that before. He's just looking for his brother. He doesn't know where, he's lonely and so forth. So Laura has decided.
Oh boy.
Andy, can I talk to you about something? And anytime I hear an Andy, can I talk to you about something, whatever follows is going to be just horseshit. I'm not going to enjoy it. Do you think that we could try one more? I said, I'm going to stop you right there. I'm going to tell you this. Here's what's going to happen. You can do whatever you want, but I am not touching it.
Yeah.
If I get up in the middle of the morning to go and start doing my work and there is a pool of piss and a pile of shit and a dumping of the mouth guts. Garbage. Yeah. I'm going to step over it and text you to watch your step down the hallway. I'm not touching it. Yeah. If you're okay with that bargain, then you can try this experiment. I want nothing more than for this to work out. I want him to be the wonderful sweet cat that used to tuck us in at night. Tucks us in. And it was wonderful. It was one. I want it to work out, but I'm quite sure it's not going
there's,
to.
There's zero chance in hell. This is zero 2 weeks, chance. 2 weeks max.
Yeah.
2 weeks max.
So she put the pheromone collar on the cat to try to give him a, you know, 24, 48 hour head start on settling his bullshit, yeah. And started the pheromone infuser in the house to try to set the cloud of pheromones. It calms them down. It really does. It worked
it gets them used.
It just makes them not antagonistic towards each other.
Oh, I didn't know they did that stuff.
Yeah, and the shit. When we got the kittens, Fuego was pissed. He's like, you know, not having it. We plugged that thing in, smoothed out.
I wonder if they have one that works for my mother-in-law.
Did you infuse it with a little of your medical marijuana? Because that could really be helpful.
Hey, you know what, too? You know what, Andy? Has Laura done the thing yet? You know, now that you got chemo brain or anything, just like brought something in and you're like, wait a second. I didn't say that we could. I didn't agree on anything like this. And she's like, oh, no.
Oh, yes, you did.
We talked about it. Is that going to happen probably?
I hope not.
You need to start writing shit down.
that's every dog we've ever had except the first one. The first one, and I was the one that gave her the little taste. I mean, Charla grew up with dogs, but I was the one when we first got engaged. I surprised her with a Cocker Spaniel puppy, something we had talked about, but I surprised her with this gorgeous, beautiful little buff-colored Boomer was his name. He was the best. Every other dog since then, and there have been many, has been, I come home from work and there's a strange dog in the house. And it's the first thing she says is, we're looking for a home. We're looking for a home. And by the fourth or fifth time this happened, I'm like, yeah, he found it. This is where his home is, because you're never going to give this up.
Right.
And what does we're looking for a home mean? You called two people. I didn't see you putting notices up on telephone poles. Yeah, I didn't see you putting ads in anything.
She says they
ended up with us.
She says we're looking for a home, then goes out and buys him a sweater and a bed and some toys. And it's like, yeah, you're looking for a home, all right.
Yeah, well, the first night that this strange dog is sleeping right at the foot of our bed, I'm like, this dog is never leaving. It's clear that this is, so that's been her mode ever since then. And now that we have Bixby, who has been, it's the first time we've had a puppy in a long, long time. All the other rescues have been generally adult dogs, at least a year old. So most of their, you know, house training and everything has been done in some other form. Mm-hmm. And usually they've all been fairly well behaved or will get there. This is the first puppy, so there's a lot of high maintenance. There's a lot of training. This has been a quarantine puppy, so it hasn't interacted with other people or dogs. So there's a lot of socialization that's kind of we've been struggling through. And he's been a lot. I got to admit it. He's been a lot. And so much of it has fallen on Charla, especially when Alex isn't here or I'm in L.A. lately. And then suddenly to hear out of her mouth, maybe we should get a second dog to keep a company. I was saying, like, no. Did you remember what you just went through with one?
Well,
and it was
exactly
the whole idea of them keep. We had two dogs together forever, for years up until recently, and they never looked at each other. They didn't fight. But they never looked at each other. They were never playing with the same toy. They were never doing tug of war. They didn't nudge each other and go, hey, you want to go run around the backyard? Sure, let's do. No, they were both bugging her all the time. Had to let that out.
They're not like cats that don't, dogs don't, do they tend to snuggle with each other?
My dogs can do.
Absolutely. But it just depends on their personalities. And also, if they're really attached to a person, they'll be more about that person than about each other.
Yeah.
And Charlotte's just one of those people. She's talk about pheromones. She walks near a dog and the dog goes, I want to go with her. And they're like coming, like dogs find her. And it's a problem.
Well, by coincidence, I surprised Laura with my buff colored Boomer.
Did she put a collar on it and say we're trying to find it a home?
Wonder if that's
and it,
gonna...
it follows her everywhere. She...
I wonder if that's going to grow back as an afro. Oh. You're disgusting. Heavens.
I'm sorry. Larry.
Yeah.
Well, what's great is I had to write that down and there's no way I was going to remember it.
Good on you. Very good. And we're going to come to Andy's place in a few weeks and there's just going to be post-it notes all over with just random phrases that he has no idea what they mean.
The hose right is going to be running in the yard.
It's going to be the above ground pool overflowing.
Four bags of concrete still sitting there. He doesn't know where they came from.
Except the water's rising, so it's getting wet. So
I threw up my hands and called it a water feature. Yeah,
there's going to be a cat desperately swimming across this lake in the backyard.
It's likely. It's more than possible. It's likely. Well, Larry, you have prepared something lovely for us. And we appreciate the effort that you put into it. This was something that was thrown out. Who came up with this idea?
It was our good friend Josh Flieger who came up with this fabulous idea.
And the idea was good songs, like great pieces of music.
Songs we
just,
like, yeah.
That just happen to have terribly shitty Drek lyrics at least one point in the song. And each of us, I believe, have come up with two possibilities. Larry, I'll just turn it over to you.
Yeah, and this did kind of hit a nerve with a few folks who we did get some great emails, as a matter of fact. In fact, from Hannah, if I remember, this is actually a song that I almost used, but I have talked about it on the podcast before because I heard it on our little local radio station here in Cambria. But Heather submitted Neil Diamond's I Am, I Said, for that classic line that, remember, I brought that up. I Am, I Said, to no one there, and no one heard it all, not even the chair, which obviously was something that Neil was stumped, couldn't come up with.
You would think the chair would hear it.
No one there. I mean, there was so many other possibilities. And I feel like in many of these cases for the songs we picked, this was kind of one of those cases where the songwriter was like, well, this will be a placeholder. And then they get there and they're like, I'm kind of used to it now.
Yeah,
I think
it's just,
people
it's just
like it.
Kind of stuck in their brain and they can't not undo it. You know what I mean? Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to start out with one that I believe is exactly that. And this comes from one of the most prolific and respected and beloved songwriters of all time. A songwriter who has been featured on our music features in the past. In fact, one of Andy's love songs is a song from this artist who has been criticized for that song, but also is one that you have a great affection for. And I do believe in this amazing artist's career, there were times when he just kind of got a little lazy. And his name is Paul McCartney. Oh. And especially maybe in the solo and wings portion of his career, he kind of felt like, oh, I can kind of write what I want. People love it. I mean, one of his first solo hits, so like, what does she do all day? I don't know. Every day she takes a morning bath and lets her hair, wraps her towel around her. She said, flippity floo, there's a song. And Another Day, one of my favorite songs of all time, is the most simple lyrics in the world. And yet, he came up with this one, which I believe is a metaphor, but I don't know. And I love this song. I really do like this song. But unfortunately, it slaps you in the face like a big old slimy thing in the opening line.
Yes.
Say you don't love him, my salamander.
My salamander.
Say you don't love him, my salamander.
My salamander.
That's ridiculous.
My salamander. And I actually did a pretty deep dive on that. Nobody's ever asked him about that as far as I can tell. And he's never explained it. And there are theories of people like me who have said, what the fuck, McCartney? I mean, it's like, good. And the metaphor being supposedly that someone slipped through his hands, you know, whatever.
I see. What's the other one where, gonna do it till you do it till you do it till you, my polygon. What is it? Hi. That song, hi. That song is just full of bullshit.
And also, I'm not a big fan of someone's knocking at the door. Somebody's ringing the bell.
See, I someone's love that one.
The door.
Yeah.
Somebody's ringing the bell.
I love that one because the different
open
people.
Open the door.
let him in.
I mean, I love Paul McCartney's a fucking genius. My dog could have written that song. Yeah.
Well, he wrote that song, as I remember correctly, to do it in front of a friend who was at the house as a parlor trick. So he's like, you know, just making up stuff as he goes. And then went back later and put in this cavalcade of stars. Like, I think Martin Luther was supposed to be George Harrison, and Brother John is in then... the Everly Brothers, Phil and Don,
right?
Yeah, so he's throwing in names of real people into that song that he just made up as a parlor trick for someone in his house.
Yeah, well, not everything you do at a party necessarily needs to go on the album, you know? it's kind of like the SNL bit about, hey, Alanis, just because you wrote it in your journal doesn't mean you make it a song.
Right,
you know?
but who wants to be the person that has to pull Paul McCartney aside and be like, hey, Paul, how you doing, buddy? Come over here in the corner and talk to me for a second.
Anyway, the song Getting Closer by McCartney and Wings is a great little like modern rocker. It's just that to open with that line is just like, oh, really?
What? Okay. Well done. My Salamander sets the bar pretty high. Oh, that's good. That's a good start.
It's the most obvious one. I think some of these others are a little more subtle that maybe unless you really dig in and listen, you're probably not recognizing them. Andy, why don't you go next with
my first choice?
Remember which one you did first?
I do. This is one of the greatest songs ever written. And it's so fantastically orchestrated by this band. And it's well sung by someone that I believe you brought into the sound for a My Turn at one point. Someone named, last name of Kimball. And Josh.
Yeah.
And the song is just fantastic. It's been covered by a few people and recently by Weezer. It's just a beautiful, amazing song with a couple of lyrics that are just total bullshit. If you would, please, Larry.
I'm going to lead you into your specific lyric because it's nothing without context. So here we go.
The wild dogs cry out in the night as they grow restless, longing for some solitary company.
Here it comes.
I know that I must do what's right. Sure as Kilimanjaro rises like Olympus above the Serengeti.
Come on!
Oh, no.
Sure as Olympus rises above... Kilimanjaro rises above... Right. The desert, like Olympus above the Serengeti.
What's the other one?
Old forgotten words and ancient melodies. All right. Fitting all of those fucking syllables into that measure, it's overkill.
Hey, Andy, real quick before you go on, I specifically remember when we did My Turns, okay? I had to print the lyrics to every song and scan them for any swear words to make sure that there wasn't anything... you know, that slipped by. And I specifically remember going through this song and being like, he put Serengeti in these fucking lyrics? Like, you have to physically try. You need to start the song being like, I need to write a song that somehow goes around Serengeti and builds backwards.
It's too fucking much. What's his name, by the way? I keep thinking Richard Kimball, but that's the fugitive.
That's Toto, right?
Yeah, but the singer.
Isn't it David?
It's David Page and
it's David Page, isn't it?
Yeah, who wrote? But singing it isn't that Kimball singing it?
I don't know.
One that sang Rosanna.
I couldn't tell you 1 ounce of Toto history.
He came in and did a My Turn at one point at the sound.
Okay, if you say so. That's how much I like Toto.
the thing about that song, just in general, is that it really in if you've got a bunch of white guys doing a song about the Dark Continent and about how they have to get back like to their roots somehow, yeah. That's the part that just overall there's, I mean, it's such a, you're right, there's such a good vibe to it, and this song has had a bit of a comeback in the last couple of years. It's
right,
it's been pointed to as a real touchstone of the era and beautifully produced and all that, but when you really dig into it, it's kind of like Bobby Kimball lead and backing
Bobby
vocals.
Bobby Kimball, that's it.
But yeah, David was also singing on it as well.
It also reminds me of the song from Band-Aid, Do They Know It's Christmas?
Yeah.
And there won't be snow in Africa this Christmas. Yeah, there's never fucking snow in Africa.
Like, obviously, like there
you have
one
never seen
time.
Kilimanjaro unless, rise like Olympus above the Serengeti.
Unless it's in Kilimanjaro, rising above.
You think that song was a bet? Like somebody said, I'll give you $400 if you can get Kilimanjaro and Serengeti in one sentence in a song that's got a chart. And then you can have a night with my wife.
All right, Josh. All right, your first one is up, and I applaud this one. Although you are basically looking at the
Don't play the whole
verse.
Thing because everybody will get the gist. And I have the lyrics right here to just maybe discuss some of them.
But this said second verse, right?
Oh wait, no. Which song are you doing? Are you doing the?
I'm doing the more recent one.
Okay, that's a different one. Okay. Right. Yeah, this is the second
verse. I'm saving that other one for the very last,
okay,
dude.
Okay, so this song, it's not that bad of the song. It's just, I was struggling finding my second song, and I was just kind of thinking of songs that kind of bugged me, and then this one popped in my head, and I wasn't going to pick it, but when it came into my head, and I pulled the lyrics out and I read them once for like 4 days. I just kept repeating those lyrics in my head and be like, this might be one of the worst written verses just about for what it says and some of the words that were chosen. So go ahead.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 He's on the money with this one. Here we go.
Sucking on chili dog outside the Diane sitting on Jackie's lap, got his hands between the knees. Jackie say, hey Diane, let's run off behind the shady trees. Dribble off those Bobby Brooks, let me do what I
please. Wow.
The sucking on a chili dog.
That's the lyric that drew me in. Because I'm like,
yeah, it's objectively the least offensive of the lyrics, but it's the one that kind of hits your ear weird right away.
Yeah,
right?
And then, the picture he starts to paint here. This is only the beginning, okay? He's got a football star, so you're picturing this big Midwestern dude. I don't know. He's probably quarterback, wide receiver, something like that. A little bit of arrogance to him. And he's sucking on a chili dog. If there's any verb that should never be associated with a chili dog, it's sucking.
And he's pulling this girl's knees apart.
Okay, that's then we get
playing some Twister.
No, let's stay with the food item at first, because if you're talking about a chili dog, you're talking about a notoriously wet item to begin with.
Yes.
It's something that you need to get. You need to ingest as soon as possible before it turns into a pile of mush.
It's a buff colored boomer.
Well, here's the thing: if you're sucking on it,
makes no sense.
If you got a chili dog and you're sucking on it, then there's got to be some slurping involved too, because the mess on top of the dog.
Sure.
So now let's look at the picture the Cougar's painting for us. He's got this. He's got this Midwestern
Cougar.
This Midwestern jock. Sucking on a chili dog outside of the local Dairy Queen or Tasty Freeze. So, wow, this is okay. We're in a small Midwestern town. I think that's the portrait he's trying to paint, you know, the innocence of growing up and the charm of growing up in a small town. All right, so let's go on with the next couple lyrics here. Diane, his girlfriend, you know, the debutante of his backseat, she's sitting on his lap and he's got his hands between her legs. Oh, is he still holding? He's got one hand. He's still holding on to a chili dog. Who knows? Okay. Then he says, he turns to her and says, hey, let's go behind that tree over there. Let me dribble off your pants and do whatever the hell I want. How effing charming are you, my friend?
Maybe he's eating the chili dog between her legs.
Okay. Let me do what I please. She's like, well, what? He's like, I don't know. I'm going to stick a pine cone up your ass. Whatever I want. I can do whatever I want. Let me do what I please, but I'm going to do it. Once I finish this chili dog, we're going to go behind that tree by the Tasty Freeze, and I'm going to do whatever the hell I want. I don't know. I might just put your head in the dirt. I don't know. Whatever I want. Who cares? Let's get nuts. It's so gross. And then the verb he chooses, dribble off of those Bobby Brooks, which I assume are pants or something. Oh, this guy's so gross. What kind of dude is this? And you know he's got a little bit of chili on his lip when he's saying it too.
Yeah. Nobody said Jack was a good dude. All right.
Jackie.
There just happened to be a song about those two. I mean, you know, stuff happens in small towns. What are you going to do?
That whole verse needs to just be deleted from existence.
That song, number one hit.
Yeah.
Number one hit.
Big time.
Oh, and you know who came up with the idea of doing the thing in the middle? I believe it was Mick Ronson. David Bowie's guitar player.
The little breakdown with the acoustic?
Yeah. Because the song didn't work. And he was like giving up on it. He couldn't figure a way to work it together. And Mick Ronson was in there and he's like, I think you need some baby rattles on this one, John. He's like, what the fuck are you talking about, baby rattles? So he came in with the, you know, the shaker in there and then breaking it down with the Kenny Aronoff doing the boom, 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 you know, doing the drum breakdown and then having a chorus of everybody singing, gonna let it rock, gonna let it roll. Oh, okay. And he pulled the whole thing together and he came in and played it for him. He's like, well, I'll be goddamn. That's pretty good. And it ended up being his only number one hit.
Ronson couldn't have pulled him aside and said, hey, maybe don't sexually assault the girl in the song. Maybe.
Hey, I mean, much less sucking on chili. You do that, okay? You scumbag. All right. Do whatever I please.
I got dark. All right. Larry?
Yes. Here's one that has bugged me forever, and it is essentially three words out of what may be a perfect song that keeps it from being a fully perfect song. And maybe two words if you count one of them as a hyphenated word, because it's a combination of words that does not exist in the English language, but you understand what they are. And once again, comes from this time a duo of some of the most respected and prolific songwriters of all time. The lyrics for the song do fall directly into the responsibility of one of these people. It's one from one of the greatest albums of all time, arguably the greatest album of this artist's career. For my money, the best track on the entire double album, the title cut to that album, a great message in there, a great story, a melody that is so original and beautiful and affecting, and it stands the test of time. But when you get to this part,
back to the island of
hunting the horny back toad.
What? That you don't?
An animal that does not exist as that name. First of all, how many owls are out there howling at night? A second. Now, I grew up in Texas, and there is such a thing as the Texas horned frog, which has often been referred to as, for lack of a better term, the horny toad. Not sure how many of you have ever dealt with horny toads.
I've heard of them.
Okay. Now,
I had one on my buff-colored boomer once.
Yeah, okay.
Did you?
Here we go.
Did you? You got to get that taken care of, man. There is absolutely no reference in the English language, specifically in Britain, to referring as that particular genus of lizard as a horny-backed toad. Doesn't exist. Nobody's ever called it that or referred to it as that. Also, what are you hunting it with? They are not even the size of a mouse sometimes. So you're not out there with a frickin' bow and arrow or a shotgun.
They
are not a food source to anything except perhaps slightly larger forest animals, maybe, but they have horny backs to keep you from eating them.
Can I offer maybe a solution? Is this maybe some type of English reference to drugs? Like, man, I really need to hunt the horny back toad tonight. I'm not feeling too, you know what I mean?
It is Bernie. It is a direct reference to Bernie. This is a song about Bernie, not about Elton. Okay. Bernie Taupin wrote this about, because his upbringing was very modest. He came from the same sort of podunk, you know, barn that Andy grew up in, except in Britain.
Oh, poor guy.
He came from very modest upbringing. And this song was about having achieved all the success and the kind of the trappings of riches and fame that he's considering, you know, really just kind of going back to a place of a simpler place, going back to my plow, you know, working hard for a living. Just this idea of trying to stay grounded and in touch with his roots. And somewhere in there, again, Elton got these lyrics and said, sure, I got a beautiful melody to put this. How about this horny back toad thing? But Elton grew up in a nice, you know, he didn't grow up super poor. He grew up in the city. He didn't know. He might have said, well, that sounds like a country thing. Bernie must have been out there hunting these for food.
Exactly.
At night.
He has no idea what he just heard that somewhere and assumed that the horny back toad was a popular toad to hunt by those hillbillies.
I'm telling you, there is no song I love more than this. When it comes on the radio or it comes on my playlist, it moves me. I feel so good and so almost melancholy every time it plays in the best way possible. And that line, I can't get over it.
I love it. And I love the vodka and tonics line in there as well. But that song, by the way, is one of my favorites of all time as well.
Yeah.
It's just
a great song.
I've described it as a 3-minute full motion picture film.
Yeah,
I mean, because it's so cinematic. The song it reminds me of. I feel like I'm watching it on a ViewMaster, you know, in stereo vision.
Yeah,
a ViewMaster reel.
It's
going
amazing.
Through it.
It tickles all the pleasure centers in every possible way. Yeah, and then Horny Back Toad comes up. But
by the way, Yola, the singer Yola, she's this soul singer from England who does country music. I just interviewed her a couple weeks ago. She does a version of that. She did one a couple years ago when she was nominated for Best New Artist Grammy. I would have told anyone to stay a fucking mile away from that song. Never try to cover that song. No one can do that justice. She killed it. She did so good on it. If you haven't found it, go look that up. You'll thank me for it.
Yeah. All right, Andy.
Okay. When you're writing a song, you're writing a song about some nostalgic thing, some night back in your early days, the salad days, the first flush of a relationship with someone, that first day of fall, let's say, and you're writing this song about them, and you want to remember dancing in this beautiful month, this watershed month of the new autumn season with someone that you care deeply about. Maybe come up with words like, oh, my love, or darling love, or my sweet love, anything like that. You could do any of those things, but sometimes people choose not to do that and just say, body ya. Hit it, Larry. What the fuck is a body ya? Body ya? It's like, hey, 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 body ya, say do you remember, body ya, dancing in September, body ya, never was a cloudy day. What? What? But body ya, that was a number one. Body ya is the lyric.
Was that the lady's name, maybe?
Body ya?
It's just a nonsense word.
Body ya! No, that's made up horseshit. Yeah. But it's an amazing song. Love the song. But yeah, just go ahead and go the extra mile.
Why
go ahead
and punch it in the end zone. At least do that.
Well, he did that in the next part. If you listen, after the body ya, body ya, body ya, and then it's
Badu, 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 badu. Yeah, it was just half finished. And like, oh, sorry, guys. Everything's pressed. We got to get it in. We got to do the pressing. Let's get this out. Yeah, that one always seemed like it was a little half baked to me, but it's still a fantastic song.
Yeah, absolutely great song. All right. Now it's on to Josh, who is going to wrap us up with quite a bang here. But I'm not sure that people will necessarily have a big argument with this one, but it is a selection. He said, when I asked him what specific part, and he said, oh, the entire song. So I picked my own favorite portion.
Well, before you go, I had to, Andy, we've briefly talked about this before, and this was the song that inspired me to come up with this topic. And, this literally, it might be, some consider the greatest song ever written. And I had to look it up to see, I was 100% sure that I was stealing somebody's stand-up comedy bit. And I YouTubed, I searched, and if I did, I'm extremely sorry. I didn't mean to, but I don't understand how anybody hasn't touched on this, how this song is just complete and utter. The lyrics are just, you can substitute them with just Morse code. It doesn't matter. It's they're just useless, pointless, and hit it, Larry.
If there's a bustle in your hedgerow, don't be alone there. It's just a sprinkly for the May Queen.
Okay.
Yes, there are two paths you can go by, but in the long run,
if there's a bustle in your hedgerow, don't be alarmed now. It's just a spring clean for the May Queen.
This song literally sounds like somebody wrote it with Mad Libs. It's like somebody said, okay, give me a month. And they're like, May. And he's like, okay, royal title, queen. Okay, May Queen. There we go. Let's moving on. And I know this, it's like I stare at these lyrics and I search for the metaphors. I don't know what the hell he's, and I understand Bobby likes to dive into the high fantasy. He gets the ring rays, they ride in black, and Gollum comes up and takes his girlfriend and all that shit. I get it. I don't think this goes into that. I don't understand where this is or what it is. It starts off with just a big stupid lie. There's a lady who's sure all that glitters is gold. Oh, she's never seen a disco ball. Nothing makes sense. There's a sign on the wall, but she wants to be sure, because you know sometimes words have two meanings. Okay, what's the sign say? And then from that line, he goes, in a tree by a brook. where the hell is she, and what the hell are you talking about?
I heard somebody once do a parody of this song, and it was, there's a lady in town, and she wants to buy bread because she really wants a sandwich. Yep. And then it goes on to say, she's an Orthodox Jew, so she only buys bread that's unleavened. Ooh, and the bread is wonder.
Okay. And she's buying a stairway to heaven. When she gets there, she knows if the stores are all closed. With a word, she can get what she came for. Well, the stores are closed. Who the hell is she talking to? And so there's stores at the top of Stairway to Heaven that she's buying? What are you talking about? I don't understand what you're talking about.
Josh, seriously have an issue with, high-level metaphor and are forgetting the massive amount of drug use that had to have been going on around this time.
I mean, at least there's... Even those weird songs, there's always like one part where you can kind of see a little bit of the metaphor. This literally is like I said, it's like somebody wrote it with Mad Libs. It makes no sense. It's just like some wacky, I don't know if it's trying to be like high fantasy gnomes and shit running through the woods. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but it's a great song, but it literally is just gibberish. It's just gibberish.
I'll tell you this. I'm for anything that winds you up this much.
This has bothered me for like 30 years. This song, for now, how popular it is, some people keep, think this is the greatest song that's ever written, and I can
see what
they're
saying.
This is
your favorite band.
Yes, yes. And but this song makes no effing sense.
Take those lyrics out of it. The song. Do you like the song, or are you a No Stairway person?
No. How can you not like Stairway? It's the song that sucks you in. I could go without ever listening to it again. I've heard it so many times, but it's the song. It's the song that sucks you into Led Zeppelin. You get in there, you know, and then you just dive into their catalog. But it's just, it's baffling. It's
you notice that when the band Spirit filed the lawsuit about trying to for copyright infringement, they talked about was the riff, not the lyrics.
We
had nothing to do with those. Okay.
And it's whispered that soon, if we all call the tune, then the Piper will lead us to reason. Piper. So the Piper, where are you still by the tree? Where's the sign? I don't know what's going on here.
You should be hunting for the Piper.
I guess, but
if you want to find some reason in this, that's your next.
Well, I got alarmed, but it's okay because it's just a spring queen for the May Queen. whatever the hell that means. I had to look up what a May Queen is. Do you know what a May Queen is?
A May Queen?
Yeah. What?
Yes. Well, it's in Europe, in Western Europe, there are many May Day celebrations where they'll dance around the Maypole and so forth.
She's like and the May Queen. Name the May Queen.
She's like the parade queen.
They have it at my kid's school every
year.
And
then sacrifice her as a virgin, right? Is that part of it?
What's she doing in my hedgerow? Why is she cleaning my hedgerow?
She's bustling.
Apparently.
She's cleaning my hedgerow. Hey, guess what? It's dirt and trees. It doesn't need clean. It doesn't need clean in spring. It just doesn't need clean.
I think you need to write a dissertation on this, Josh. Although it's just every line, you write down every line, you go, what is it? Who is that? Why is she there? Why is it? But it's dirty. I want to read that.
To be a rock and not a roll. Ugh,
yeah. To be a rock and not two roll.
It's like he's like, well, I got to get rock and roll in there. So to be a rock and not a roll.
It's not two roll.
Okay.
To be a rock and not two
all
roll.
All of our lives, we isn't should it? Be a rock. Isn't no, it? It says to be a rock and not two roll. Yeah, to be a rock and not two roll. Whatever. I mean, it doesn't matter. It makes sense either way.
Because then it does get weird if you don't want to be like a bread roll.
Right. I don't know, but it's better to be
a
rock.
Let me get back around to the bread thing.
I don't know.
He's more than wound up, Andy. He's just beside himself. I think this is going to ruin the rest of his weekend.
I'm glad we did this.
There
to get
walks
this
a lady we all know who shines white light and wants to show how everything still turns to gold. Okay.
Wow.
I guess
thus
you
far,
say so,
thus
Bobby.
Far, Josh's rant, I think, is
I'm pissed.
As a matter of fact, just now it surpassed the length of Stairway to Heaven. So congratulations.
I could read this whole thing and diagnose every one of these lines and be like, what the F are you talking about?
Larry, did you have any others from listeners? Did anyone write in?
We should probably get to the calls. I think I did get one other I would like to mention from our good friend David Headwall, who mentions, it's a little obscure, but it's The Slider by T-Rex.
Mm.
Gives all its attributes, loves the song, et cetera. The lyrics sound like someone threw Scrabble pieces into a blender, which I think is a great
it's
one.
Likely. So, that's a good album, too. That has Metal Guru on it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Metal Guru. I love the way he says guru instead of guru.
Gary Guru.
Metal Guru. Thank you so much, Larry, for putting that together.
Yes, thank
you. And thanks for blowing a wing nut, Josh.
Oh, sweating.
Yeah, you put in extra work today. Yes.
I feel good. I finally got that out of my system. I feel like I
could
maybe move on in life or something, but maybe not. I'll probably lay in bed and steam about how much I hate the lyrics of that song.
Do you guys want to get to a phone call?
Yeah, let's do.
All right, that phone call, that number, get the a little bit of audio ready for me here, Larry, because it's going to be necessary for this first call. But I'm going to tell you that our phone number, once again, is 626-657-6428, or OAMUCK, PM HAT is the mnemonic device that's so helpful in remembering it. But if you would, Larry, please.
Low energy bike. Art. Low energy bike.
Hey, Appers. This is Low Energy Mike from Northeastern Oregon. First off, I got to say that pretty all right, a lot closer to awesome than to just good. week has been more small catch-up jobs. Cleaning irrigation ditches, re-graveling a driveway, backfilling for a new shop building, digging out tree stumps. Today I will start on a portion of the road project in the middle of nowhere. The rock supplier has only delivered about 200 yards so far. I should get most of that used up today. Tomorrow is pond building day. That's always fun. It's a pretty alright week for a ditch digging man. Doc, see you later.
Thank you for that. Here we go, that, Mike.
Close. I'm glad to know you.
That was low energy, Mike. That was low energy, Mike.
Boy, I tell you what, I'd love to have a backhoe and somebody say, hey, you see that the stump over there? Go dig that out. That just sounds like a ball. I mean, I wouldn't know how to work one of those things for anything.
Do you ever get a little equipment envy when you hear Low Energy Mike talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he starts, digging drainage ditches and filling in, et cetera. And I can just see it just almost vibrating sitting there.
Here's the thing. You know, I sometimes have this fantasy where I see myself, Laura and takes the kids off for a camping trip for a weekend, right?
That's a fantasy.
I get a wild hair.
I was going to say.
I get a wild hair and I go down to the equipment rental place and I rent one of those Bobcats and I go in the backyard and I start digging out a pool. This is one of my fantasies. I start digging out the pool and she comes home to discover me with this Bobcat irretrievably down in a hole that I haven't left a way to get it out of. Uh-huh. And I've broken a water main.
Yeah.
No, let's make it a sewer main. And there's just, a swamp gas coming up. And she looks at me and I'm looking up at her with this sad, forlorn face. That's how it ends. So I'll never pull the trigger on it.
And then she starts to fill the hole with cement while you're still in it.
I do. No, she turns the pool hose on and just lets it fill up for 6 hours.
Away.
Yeah.
I think we need to start a construction site fantasy camp. Just
they have those.
I was going to say that that exists somewhere.
There's a thing in Vegas where you can go pay money like hundreds of dollars per hour, but you literally just drive and do a bunch of backhoe, bulldozer stuff. They have like this big lot that you can just drive around and dig stuff. But I think it's pretty expensive.
Well, there's a road trip. Yeah. There is a road trip for
you know my old man.
Right,
that's what my old man did for a living was run a backhoe.
Is that right?
Yeah, for the water company.
John Milton?
Yep, John Milton. He had a little tattoo on his arm that says Milt, Pennsylvania State shot put champion. his bicep was as big as my head. Milt.
I got one more phone call here from you guys, for you guys. Yep. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's do this one.
This is George from Long Beach. And this week I had an existential crisis. Turns out I was doing my business in the bathroom. I looked over at the trash can, and my image was projected on the inside of the trash can. I'm thinking, what the? Moved and waved, and the image waved back. It's like, wow, there's a live image of me projected on the inside of my trash can. So, and it wasn't just a mirror image. In a mirror, if you move your hand to the right, then the image, it also, moves the same direction. No, this was if I moved my hand one way, the image moved the hand the other way. So it was a live image of me. Like, wow, what's the problem here? Well, it turns out we had date night this week at an actual restaurant. We went to Napa Rose, and so my wife hadn't put makeup on for 14 months. So she looked at all her makeup and it was all old, so she tossed it in the trash, including a concave makeup mirror, which happened to be laying at the bottom of the trash can. Turns out it focused the light in my reflection and produced a projection of an image on the inside of the trash can. That was just kind of weird. So we did hear some weird things, like we heard Larry's weird thing that had a scientific explanation. How about Josh and Andy? What things have you had that turned out had a scientific explanation but were kind of weird? anyway, till next time, this is George from Long Beach.
Wow.
I just want to nominate this as the greatest phone call we've ever gotten.
Yeah, it might be.
There's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, George painted quite a visual because, yes, of course, he had to start out on the toilet looking, yeah, at himself, waving to himself in his own trash,
right,
can.
I mean,
I thought we were in Stairway to Heaven territory for a second.
That's what I lost is when he said that he was waving to himself. Mm-hmm. So he's sitting there taking a crap, waving at himself, waving at his effing garbage can. And he's watching himself. And the first thing he thinks is, what's the scientific reason behind this? Yeah. I would be like, why am I waving at my garbage can with a log coming out my ass right now? Jesus. Right?
That's deep.
Have you had anything that you can be that's happened that you can explain with science?
Nothing that compares to that. I mean, I do sit on the toilet and wave to passersby. well wishers, you know, from time to time.
Push it out, but, push it out, way out. Go for it, Andy, as they're walking past.
A buff-colored boomer? No.
Oh, man.
Larry, did you have any emails that you wanted to share from the Yaps?
I should say
one more time.
Yeah.
The phone number is 626-657-6428. George set the bar pretty high there.
Yeah.
But a muck PM hat if you want to call in and ever leave a message. Go ahead, Larry.
And our email is yourartificialfriends@gmail.com. I don't think there's any better way to cap off a fabulous episode than with that story.
Our downstairs bathroom faces, it's like a small, just one bathroom thing. You know what I mean? Like a, what do you call it? Like a, it doesn't have a shower. It's just a half bath or whatever, with a toilet and a sink and a mirror. And the mirror faces the toilet. So when you take a crap, you have to stare at yourself. And I specifically avoid that bathroom because I do not like to look at myself when I take a crap. It's not that people shouldn't have to look at themselves when they crap.
There's also that same configuration in some bathrooms. If you take a shower and you pull like the curtain aside and suddenly you're staring at your naked,
yeah,
wet body,
wet,
and it's
naked,
like,
body.
Nobody needs to see that.
Yeah.
Nobody needs to see that.
I do that and then I come out and immediately apologize for my wife. I'm like, I'm sorry. You shouldn't have to deal with this.
I like to look out of the shower and watch somebody taking a crap. Is that
weird? That's really weird.
If you're taking a shower, has anybody ever come in and taken a crap while you're taking a shower? Has that happened?
I don't think so.
I don't think it's happened here either. But
I don't buy.
I don't
that.
Want that no. to happen. I want to put that in writing right now that I do not want that to ever to happen.
That's never happened to me unless I've actually paid for it.
It's never happened for free.
You went straight from the Vegas lot where you dig up some stuff with an earth mover and then went and had somebody come into the room.
It was on the menu. I thought I'd try it. There we go.
Larry, how can people get a hold of you?
Yeah, please don't. But you could follow me on Instagram where I'm practically never posting these days, at the Larry Morgan. But, you know, come on by.
Josh, how can people suck on your chili dog?
If people want to go ahead and dribble off my Bobby Brooks, they can reach me at joshuajflicker@gmail.com. We'll head off behind a tree. I'll let you do what you please. I don't care. Let's get nuts.
How about you, Andy?
I'm so glad you asked.
Is there any way that people can grab a hold of your buff-colored boomer?
It's Andy Chanley, all one word, on Instagram. It's DJ Andy Chanley on Facebook and Andy_Chanley on the Twitter.
I think we won the Peabody today, I really do.
Next week's episode's going to suck. Yeah. This is a good one, so.
Why try?
When the people that you know don't like you, and you treasure friendships in, tune into this podcast with your artificial friends.
To be a rock and not to roll.
Screw you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.